Today's episode is brought to you by Moody Publishers, who recently released Bible and Breakfast by Asharita Chuchu. This 31-day devotional combines rich devotions with easy breakfast recipes. Offering full-color photos, step-by-step directions, personal stories, and biblical insights, Asharita paves the way for you to feed your body and soul together. Download a free breakfast recipe and devotional at BibleandBreakfast.com. We're so thankful for the support of Moody Publishers. Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. On today's episode of Risen Motherhood, Karen Hodge is joining us to talk about faithful motherhood and how to recognize and cultivate your children's gifts. You probably recognize Karen's name as she's had a huge influence on many of us at Risen Motherhood, and she currently serves as our board chair. In addition, she's the coordinator for PCA Women's Ministry, is a pastor's wife of a new church plant just outside of Charlotte, and is a mom to two adult children, Anna Grace and Haddon. Karen is also the co-author of two books, Transformed, Life Taker to Life Giver, and Life-Giving Leadership. As I mentioned, Karen has been truly influential within the ministry of Risen Motherhood, and in particular, my own life. She's one of the wisest women I know, and I can't wait for you to hear her share today. Not only do we talk about recognizing and stewarding our children's gifts, we also get into weaknesses and how we should view them in God's economy. And of course, the conversation bled into talking about stewarding our own gifts as mothers, and the words Karen shares are powerful, convicting, and encouraging. So sit back and listen in as we get to the interview with Karen, Emily, and me. Oh, and one more thing. If you want to check out all of our Faithfulness in Motherhood series, where we interview women who are further down the path, we put together a new page on our site, risenmotherhood.com/faithfulmotherhood. Head there to listen to all the interviews we've done in this series, as well as any related articles and resources we have. Okay, on to the interview. Well, thanks, Karen, for being on the Risen Motherhood podcast today.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, we are so excited. For those of you who don't know, Karen is a dear friend of mine and of Emily's. She's actually our board chair. I know we mentioned a lot of this stuff at the beginning of the show. You'll hear that on the intro, but I just feel like I can't help but share how meaningful it is to finally have you on our show. And so we are just excited to be able to talk to you today about faithfulness and motherhood. But first, why don't we have you share a little bit about yourself, your family, what you guys are currently doing, your children, things like that.
Oh, sure. Well, as we're talking today, I'm in the midst of a move, which is actually pretty characteristic of my life. I've been a pastor's wife for 29 years this past Sunday, and we have moved, including we were in a congregation with Laura there in Naperville, Illinois. I'm married to Chris. We have decided to leave the big church and go to plant a church from scratch. We did that one time before, so we actually know what we're getting ourselves into. It's going to be called King's Cross, and it's just outside Charlotte, North Carolina. And we have two adult children, Anna Grace, who's married to Kevin. They live in Denver and have their own animation and motion graphics company, and they do that for businesses and nonprofits. They make things move on a screen, which I completely don't understand.
It's very cool.
And then Haddon, who lives in Washington, D.C., is an economic analyst for the federal government. Basically, he's a geek who writes papers and his briefings, and he loves his job. So anyway, love my family, and anytime we can get together, it's a good thing. So I also serve as the coordinator for women's ministries in the Presbyterian Church in America, which means I connect people to people and people to resources and churches to other churches. So often I tell people I'm just a hinge. I just stand in the gap and I just connect people. And so I love to connect people to Risen Motherhood, any chance I get.
Well, you have been a blessing to us in that and have really, I think our listeners won't know this, but Karen has been a real spiritual mother to us as well, and has just come in from a ministry role and helped pray for us and kind of shepherd us through different decisions and choices and things we're evaluating. So even the things we're going to be talking about on today's interview, we've experienced kind of firsthand as just younger women to someone who is further along in her faith and further along in ministry and is able to see our strengths and our weaknesses, mm-hmm. and just kind of help us process those in light of the gospel. So we're just really, really grateful to talk to you about that today.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to be here.
So as we shared, we're talking a little bit about nurturing your children's gifts. And Karen, why don't you start us off by just helping us understand, how do you actually even identify your children's mm-hmm. gifts? And then once you do that, how would you biblically foster them? I feel like this is a question that I'm already starting to think about with my 6-year-old. So sure. I'm not sure where to even begin.
Right. Well, and let me preface everything by saying that I am not a perfect parent. Okay. I have adult children. And so everything you're going to hear today is from a 0 to 100% effective in our life, right? So lots of things I've had to repent of over the years. But I think when we think about giftings for our kids, you can think in terms of there's natural giftings, right? Things they just, the way God made them, okay? They just have aptitudes. They're good at different things. But then there's also spiritual gifts that we are looking towards. Now, of course, that doesn't come until after conversion. So how the question you asked me is kind of like, how do you identify those things? Well, I think it's best in the context of community. A family is a community, right? But then also in the context of a church community, especially where they can see older people in their life modeling those things, whether they are the natural gifts or the spiritual gifts. And so then you're kind of looking, you're listening, you're present to your kids, you're debriefing with your kids a lot. And so I think that's where this is not something that's segmented in parenting. It's integrated into everyday conversations. In other words, you might say to your kid, I really noticed that you lit up when you served in that way. Or it really seemed like you connected to this group of people because they care about this, you know, that type of thing. So I know for my own children's life, I ask them kind of who were the people in their life who had affirmed their gifts besides their parents. Mm. And so you're kind of hearing the echo in the room. And there are many older adults in their life who, yes, I may have said, hey, Haddon, I really think God's made you this way. But when that other person said it, we're going to a whole nother level, right? Mm-hmm. Of affirmation to say, this is something I think God has uniquely designed you to do. Now, even better if that older person says, hey, would you come and do this with me? Mm. So the idea of how we, you know, kind of, first of all, identify them, but then how do we, and I know we're going to go there next, kind of how do we cultivate those things? How do we foster those things? And that's really about discipleship, really. And yet that seems like an educational word, doesn't it? It seems very classroom-like, right? Mm-hmm. But when I think about parenting, I think about parenting in terms of discipleship. Mm-hmm. Discipleship is follow me as I follow Christ. Okay. So what did Jesus give his life to? He gave his life to serve and not be served. Mm-hmm. And that takes gifts, right? All kinds of gifts. And so discipleship really at its heart is showing people who Christ is, right? Showing your kids who Christ is, and then showing them how to actually use their gifts in a meaningful way, like they're part of the body of Christ, mm-hmm. that it actually makes a difference.
Yeah. It's so interesting, even as you're talking about their strengths and pointing those out, because even though God designed us in a certain way, and sometimes we can see that design in our children and again, their aptitudes, their strengths, their giftings, we also can see how that can make them puffed up or it can make them struggle with wanting to achieve in a certain area for their own gain, and that everything we do, because we're on this side of the fall, is also impacted by our sin and the brokenness of the world or not being able to achieve everything that we think they should be able to do, or there's not those opportunities there. So I guess just to flow into that next question is, how then do we take those strengths and point those out to our kids and then filter those through the lens of the gospel that kind of puts a different spin on those?
Yeah. And you know, anybody who knows me knows I talk about this word a lot. And again, it's one of those words you're like, okay, this is a Sunday school word, stewardship.
Oh yeah. That's your favorite word. It's your favorite word.
Okay. So well, you said it, Emily, the gifts don't belong to you. So rule number one is teaching your kids that the way God made you is number one, it's for his glory, and that the gifts don't belong to you to use for your own glory. But yet we're hardwired for performance, right? We live in a performance culture. We ride around and they're on the backs of our minivans are the showcasing of our performance culture. what are you uniquely gifted to do? Just go to a stoplight and you can figure that out. What a family says, I value. Okay. So your time doesn't belong to you. Your talents don't belong to you. Anything God has given you in your hand to do, you do it for the glory of God. And so that means when you're making choices about how you use your gifts, like as a family, let's just take, for instance, hey, mom, can I sign up for blank? You just wait. You mothers are preschoolers. There's so many things to do. I mean, it's just crazy. How do you make a decision? Can I glorify God? Will this be a good stewardship of our gifts? Mm-hmm. Will this be a good stewardship for our family? Mm-hmm. And then that kind of narrows it down, right, to really what's at the heart of discipleship is investing in eternal things with our kids. Mm-hmm. So that means the Word of God and people. So I use my gifts, right, to further the Word of God advancing and to be in relationships with other people. That's really what they're for. But it's not to get a trophy, even though you might have some.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the most formative things that you've taught me as you've counseled me over the years with my own gifts. And so I can only imagine how you did that with your own children and what a gift that would be to them. But that's something that I've so appreciated, this idea that my gifts are not my own. In many ways, it's encouraged me to do really scary things like Risen Motherhood. I came to Karen and I was like, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. I don't think this is the right move for me. And it was so wonderful just to hear her talk to me about stewardship and my giftings and where God has put me and what he has in front of me. And that was really impactful for me to be able to start Risen Motherhood, to continue with it. I mean, you've really shepherded both Emily and I, mm-hmm. but in that, and encouraging us to just remember that our gifts are for the kingdom, for the glory of God. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, in many ways, I feel like RM would not exist if you were not kind of whispering in my ear. I'm not even kidding. Yeah. This is turning into a moment here.
But I'll tell you this, but you know, listen to what the first thing you said, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Now that is where you begin. Mm-hmm. See, because when we think about gifts and we show our kids, you know, how God's made them, the first thing they have to acknowledge is, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. But God can do this through me because he made me and he made these gifts and he will give me the strength to employ these gifts in whatever the stewardship looks like. And so I think that's kind of how you, so there's a humility that has to be cultivated in our kids mm-hmm. and they have to see it modeled by their parents. Who actually say, I can't do it, right?
Yeah, I think that really helps too, like when looking at our children's weaknesses, maybe areas that we see that they need to grow in, and they're saying legitimately, I can't do this, and that there is that call to say, we do hard things for the sake of God's glory, and sometimes we are out of our comfort zone, or, you know, I see areas in my children too that I think, oh, I'd love to kind of foster that, you know, character quality, because a biblical character quality that I believe they need to grow in. Mm-hmm. Are there any tips that you would have to help foster some of areas of weakness that we might see in our children?
Sure. Well, here's the first question. Are you okay with being weak? Mm. Like as a parent, and are you okay with your kid being weak? Mm. Now that's not popular. You know, my kid's really great at blank, but we don't say, you know, hey, could you pray for my child? They really struggle in this area. That doesn't come up very often, a lot of times in women's Bible studies. And yet, I actually think, like in my own life, there are far greater pitfalls with our strengths than our weaknesses. Paul is right. When we are weak, he is strong. His grace is sufficient in our weakness. And that's what we boast in. We boast in our weakness. And yet that is so countercultural, right? So God gives us these things so that we would be what? Dependent. What parent out there doesn't wake up and pray every day, I wish my kid would be spiritually mature? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you guys are doing at Risen Motherhood. What is spiritual maturity? Dependence. It's not strength. It's weakness. Yeah. And so actually, when our kids come to us and say, Mom, I can't do this. I'm so frustrated. That is a classroom right there, right? You stop and you say, you know what, bud? You're right. You can't do it. But God can. Mm-hmm. And then you lift their eyes upward because they're going to grow up like Haddon and Anna Grace, and they're going to be working in the world, and they're going to hit a brick wall. And, you know, whether it's personally, relationally, professionally, and they're going to say, I can't do this. So you're training your kids to lift their eyes in dependence to God. So weakness is a wonderful classroom. Mm. And parents have to be okay with actually being transparent about their own weaknesses. I think, I don't know, that may not be the answer you wanted to hear, but.
No, that was great.
Yeah, you're just really laying out how, like, the good news of Jesus Christ meets us as a mom, and then how we just deliver that and transfer it to our children, that it's the very thing that we feel when we come up against those spots in motherhood and feel like, I can't do this anymore, and I don't feel sufficient for the task of raising these children, and then turning to Jesus. That's the exact same answer we give to our kids. And I know I've been really encouraged when I've communicated that to my kids in a moment of their discouragement, and then watched as God has given them mercy, or, you know, they wake up the next morning. It's like, look, we're here, a fresh new day, a fresh That's new right. chance. Like, let's praise God today for the way that He's sustained us. It's just really, really encouraging. And I also appreciate how you mentioned earlier, I just wanted to draw back, like, slowing down and going to God in prayer and being willing to be open-handed and really ask that question of how can I best steward this? And that isn't necessarily mean always taking the easiest route or the most comfortable mm-hmm. path for us as parents or for our kids. And just to be able to rejoice in how God is going to meet them when we may say, hey, we didn't pick the most comfortable activity or the most glamorous activity, or we're not training you in the skill that all your friends are going to applaud and give you trophies for, but we're training you in something eternal. And Lord willing, to see how God develops their character and Christ-likeness in that, I think is good, but it requires us to be willing to do exactly what you're saying, like stop and pray and think and wait, and not always just like, okay, everybody else is doing it. Sign up our family, you know?
Well, and you know, I love what you just said too, Emily, and you have to stop like every day.
Yeah.
And then I think as a family, we used to do it on Sunday night. Mm. Okay. We said, okay, we're Team Hodge. Team Hodge is going to be deployed this week. What are we going to do? Okay. Mm-hmm. Haddon's going to be doing this. Aunt Grace's going to be doing this. Mom's going to be doing this. Okay. How do we work together with our gifts? We're a community to advance the kingdom. And that means it's rarely comfortable or convenient. It's not going to be. And so just acknowledging that that's part of our calling here in this broken world. I mean, that's part of understanding serving in a fallen world, that it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be good. And it's going to be sweet.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karen, you hinted at this a little bit earlier about the local church kind of coming alongside your kids and them helping to reinforce some of those same things that you were saying at home. Can you kind of expand on that of how did they play a part? Why is the church important to be investing in your kids? How is it kind of an extension of the family? And did you do anything specific to kind of make this happen?
Yeah, well, so it was organic, and it should always be organic, right? I think sometimes we think programmatically in churches, like we shove people with their own age, and then, you know, and then they miss out some on the intergenerational glory of the church. But when my kids were little, we were in a church plant. So they were constantly with older people, so much so that when we moved to Naperville and we moved to this church that had all the bells and whistles and programs, the number one thing I had to say was, how am I going to be with any older people? Because he could see the lack as a sixth grader. He knew that was huge for him. So what did we do? We said, you know what? You're going to have to work hard at this. But as God brought those people in his life and Anna Grace's life, we would have them over for dinner. And many of them just kind of said, hey, you know, forget your parents. Hey, let's go out to eat by ourselves, or let's together. And so, again, that is discipleship. So transformation, really understanding how God has gifted us, happens in the context of community. It cannot happen in isolation. It cannot happen by just, you know, taking some kind of like diagnostic survey. I think sometimes that's how we think we can figure out who we are, because really that's what's at the crux of it, right? Mm. Who are you? Mm. And every kid who goes to college has to put that on an essay.
Yeah.
So you're preparing them. And so, you know, we've had a lot of ministry with kids in their life, and they get to that essay and they don't know what to put down. So the question is, how are kids understanding their identity being rooted in Christ, not in their abilities? So they don't go to college and say, hey, I'm a blank, as opposed to saying, I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a son of the King, you know, thinking more eternally about that. But I'll tell you a quick story that kind of just puts us all these pieces together. So when Anna Grace got married, we said, you know, this is your shot. You're a pastor's kid. So like, if you just like want to have your own kind of wedding, like not invite everybody, but like, you know, you could do that in California where she was in college. But if you want to get married in Naperville, you know, it's a covenant community celebration. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. And she wanted little kids to come, and we had like tables with crayons, and, you know, I mean, it was total glory and chaos. But anyway, but here's the picture I want you to see is that when Anna Grace got married, she said, I not only want people from NPC, I want people from every congregation who've shaped me. So we had served in Charlotte, we had served in Birmingham, we had served in South Florida, and we served in Chicago. And those people sat with our family. Okay. When we came around the corner, now my friends had told me not to do the ugly cry, but I did do the ugly cry. Because here's what I saw. I saw the bride of Christ. I saw this bride of Christ, the church, who had prepared the bride, Anna Grace, for Kevin. And God used every single one of those people. And I turned around that corner. I saw all of it together, which is a little foretaste of glory.
Yeah.
And that is what we get to do in the church. We are preparing the bride to meet the bridegroom. As a parent, you are preparing your child for eternity to meet the bridegroom. And as an older adult in your church, that's what you're doing for every little kid in your church. You get to do that. And that is a sacred calling. And it's a really sweet thing. And so every day we're pointing them towards the destination. The destination's home. And so everything we do to serve, everything we do to relate in the context of community has to have that eternal perspective.
Wow. I absolutely love that story. And I hope that everyone who's listening today, I know we can get really focused on what's going on in our homes and like what our kids' needs are. And I mean, I know my daughter was screaming like crazy this morning in a very toddler way. And it is so easy for me to lose sight of what I'm preparing my kids for. Like the most I can think is I'm preparing you for bedtime. And maybe like beyond that, I'm like maybe preparing you for adulthood. But that reminder of like, no, I'm preparing you for home. Like I'm preparing you for eternity to meet Christ. And I just think you know, younger women to somebody who is further ahead of us to say thank you for reorienting our perspective today and for encouraging us not to lose sight of that and just the beautiful sacred calling that is. I just really appreciate that.
Well, we're going to get home before we know it, friends.
I know. Amazing. Well, Karen, thank you so much for joining us on the Risen Motherhood podcast today. For all of you guys who want to find out more about Karen, I'm sure you do. After all of this wisdom she shared, you will be able to find links to the books that she's written, to her social media, and how to find her all on our show notes, risenmotherhood.com. And there's a podcast button there, and you can find the link to today's show where you'll have all that other info. And of course, head over to social media to follow us at Risen Motherhood on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and we'll have links for Karen there as well. So thanks again for joining us, Karen. We really appreciate it.
It's been my delight.